Hey everyone, welcome back to the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, and I'm Travis Walker. I'm one of the pastors here at First Family Church, and today I'm joined here with one of our newer elders, Brett Stiles. Thanks for joining us today, Brett.
Yeah, no problem.
So for the last several weeks, we've been in a sermon series in Galatians chapter 5, where we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And so each week we've summarized the main point of that section, and then we've been zooming in a little bit on those specific fruits. And so this Sunday, we had Brett and Scott Searzan share with us. So yeah, thanks for opening God's Word with us. Did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I usually get the chance to preach at middle school youth group, and if you can teach to middle schoolers when like no one is looking at you and they're all just kind of in their own world, getting up to go to the bathroom four or five times. If you can teach to them, you can teach to anybody.
Absolutely, man. That is the hardest audience, I think, middle schoolers. And you do that every week. So thanks for doing that. And I think it was a great opportunity for us to get to know you and Scott more. And so you both shared some personal stories, shared family photos. And I thought that was really cool too. So
yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. So you guys tackled the two specific fruits of gentleness and self-control.
Yes.
And Scott leaned in on gentleness mainly.
Yeah.
And then you chimed in on self-control. So thanks.
Yeah. And if Scott was working here in the office with us, you know, he probably would have joined us, but it's just us two today. And so we had one question come in live that kind of talked about gentleness, and we had one question come in a little bit later that dealt with self-control. So I figured we'd just read that.
That'd be great.
And then kind of attack it together.
Let's do it.
So here's the question. When practicing the way of Jesus in our daily lives, can you provide more practical examples of how Jesus walked in gentleness and self-control?
So they're asking us, yep, we see that. Aren't we supposed to follow in the way of Jesus or live like Jesus? So that's kind of the question. And let's look at some specifics of that. And so I'll start maybe, and then you can jump in.
Sure.
I think the thing I love about the fruit of the Spirit is in many ways, it is a beautiful picture of Jesus. Those are exactly how Jesus lived and how he walked. So if you want to see a great picture of Jesus, look at the fruit of the Spirit, and you will see that he walked by the Spirit every single moment of his life. What would you add to that?
What came to my mind initially was the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by Satan. Mm. And you see Satan, kind of like we talked about on Sunday, trying to prey on those fleshly desires. Because even though Jesus was perfect and sinless, we know from Hebrews 4:15 that he was like us, tempted in all ways.
That's right.
And so all those same desires that we have within us that want to be fulfilled in the flesh, he lived that same thing. Same desires, same flesh trying to see those desires fulfilled in those ungodly ways. And so you see in those moments, Satan is trying to do exactly what he does with us to Jesus in those moments. And you see him every time resisting and having the control over those desires being fulfilled in a way that's not honoring to God.
Yep. And Jesus being 100% human, he had to do exactly what Galatians 5 says, is he had to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, and he had to walk by the Spirit. So Jesus, being a fully human, had to do exactly what you and I have to do every single day.
Yeah.
Crucify the flesh and walk by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And he did that perfectly.
Yeah. And I think it even, thinking about Hebrews 4:15, we don't have a record of every moment of Jesus' life.
Right.
Especially before his public ministry really starts. Between, you know, we see some stories early of really just one, him, you know, being left in the temple.
Right.
And we don't see a lot between there and the age 30.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really just believing in and trusting Hebrews that when it says he was tempted in all ways, all of those periods of his life that we don't have a record of, were no different than our
lives. That's right. Yep.
And so I think we do have some specific examples from his ministry, but we really have him and his word telling us that he's our great high priest because he can sympathize with us in every moment of our temptation. That's and good. We just have to trust that and believe that it's true.
Yep. So when you think of Jesus's gentleness, what comes to mind? Think of any specific passages or...
Yeah, I think mostly his relational gentleness comes to mind, probably because that's my area that I'm the worst at. So I'm most commonly failing relationally, being gentle. And I mean, with my kids is where that first comes to my mind, with my spouse.
Yeah.
And so thinking about Jesus's relational gentleness, when you think about the woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, and even some of the people that maybe they weren't necessarily in sin, but they were sick. They were diseased. His way in which he dealt with them gently.
That's good.
When they lived in a culture that treated people who were diseased and sick very harshly. They had been cast out.
Ignored
they had been ignored or even left kind of
That's good.
The man that the disciples say, like, you know, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be blind? And essentially, his parents couldn't help him because he was blind at that time, and they had kind of left him on his own. And Jesus comes to him gently and restores him. So I think the biggest thing that comes to me is just his gentleness in dealing with people relationally, especially people who had something wrong. Maybe spiritually wrong, maybe physically wrong. You never see him dealing with those people in a harsh manner. And sometimes those people in our lives are the people that cause us the most, what maybe we feel humanly like the most frustrated. Like, can this person not just get themselves together? Or this, you know, maybe physical ailment is so frustrating to me because it's drawing on my patience. Or, you know, I say to my, I think to my kids, like, you're on my last nerve right now. And yet you never see Jesus with these people who might have been humanly frustrated at times. He's never on his last nerve.
That's good.
If he's ever on his last nerve, it's with the self-righteous people.
That's true. The ones that came to my mind were Jesus' last hours when he's being falsely accused. And maybe that's just an area that, hits me hard, is when Jesus is completely innocent, always obeyed the Father, and yet he's being dragged from trial to trial. And I even remember the story when he's on the cross and people are mocking him, saying, if you are the Son of God, then come off that cross. And Jesus, in his gentleness and his self-control, he stays, he remains in order to be the sacrifice we need to be. And Jesus had all power. At any moment, he could have come off that cross. He could have, you know, sent the angels to wreak havoc on those individuals who were falsely accusing him, but you see his gentleness just to remain and to stay silent. And you see, again, I think that's what Galatians chapter 5 is such a beautiful picture. It is a picture of Jesus. So as we walk through those fruit of the spirits, we're literally seeing a great description of Jesus.
Yeah. It's sometimes tempting to think of Jesus' life as only his earthly life. And Jesus is still alive today. And because we believe in a triune God.
That's right.
Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one God.
Yeah.
And so I even think about, I know this question said, like, what about, you know, what practical examples from the life of Jesus?
Right.
But I think we experience that, his gentleness, in the way that he still deals with us.
Every day.
You know, his kindness leads us to repentance.
Amen. That's right.
And so I think, even though sometimes it can be easy to think about, like, well, what did he do? How did he show us how to do it on earth? I think it's easy to forget that he's still showing us. By the way that he deals with us.
Interceding for us to the Father, right? Like, we don't deserve the love we get from the Father. It's because of what Christ is doing for us today.
Faithfulness to us, even amidst our unfaithfulness. All those things are still his example to us in our lives now.
That's cool.
That teach us and show us, okay, that's how I should be living in the way of Jesus. It's not just his earthly life. You know, what does it say in Romans? You know, how much more by his life. So
that's
That's just something good to remember, is that his life wasn't over. You know, when he, at the age of 33, that was his earthly life was over, but so convicting, even just talking about it right now.
Well, church family, thanks so much for sending those questions. It's good for us to lean in a little bit more on that and to be reminded, is all of Galatians chapter 5 is a beautiful picture of Jesus, and that should only increase our love and gratitude and for our relationship with God and what Christ has done on our behalf. So, well, Brett, thanks so much for joining us for this episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Church, thanks for tuning in. We'll be with you again next week, next Tuesday, for another episode. So Hey, have a great week. We love you guys. We pray for you daily.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.